And we'll start that this basically was inspired by two of our regular sponsors, the ones who feed my ego by listening, both David Hirshhorn and my sister, Suzanne. So I always appreciate feedback, and I appreciate anyone who wants to actually give this year because they have something to say. But no one ever volunteers for that. But we're going to start looking at the Mizbeach. Okay, everyone knows this week's parsha is all the Klei Mishkan, all the various parts of the tabernacle. I like that word. And Mizbeach is the bronze altar. And it says, V'sita Mizbeach HaTeshitim. You're going to make this altar out of acacia wood. Chamesh Amot Orach, Chamesh Amot Rochav, 4 amot long, 4 amot wide, Rabua Yeh, make it square, HaMizbeach, V'shosh Amot Kamato, and 3 amot tall. So most illustrations have it as being 10 amot tall rather than 3 amot tall, and the 3 amot were from the base of the poles up. But see the karnatav, al arapinatav, and you'll have horns on 4 corners. Imenatiyat karnatav, part of the thing itself. Don't make them an attachment, but build them out of the same wood, these horns. The tipita to nechosha, and cover the whole thing in bronze. But see the sirotav, and you make all of its pots, of the of its pans, of dashno, to take the ashes off. The Ya'av, and I'm trying to translate Ya'av. I'm going to grab the orange scroll.
Ya'av, what's the, it would be Hayat'im Shalom?
Yeah, it's the Ya'av. It translates it here as a basin. I'm not sure at that. And Mizrikotav, and it's, I'm sorry, they have, no, they have Ya'av as shovels. Mizrikotav are basins or sprinkling pans. Umizrikotav in the forks, right? Something to stick in the meat while you're trying to burn it off. Umachtotav in the fire pan. You make all of those, the stuff you need for the mizbeach, the chokhalab tesedechosha, make them all out of bronze. Basidalo michbar, and you need to make a michbar, maser resh nechosha, a net of bronze, basita al resha, and you'll make on this net arbat tabot nechoshet, 4 bronze rings, al baktotav on its 4 sides.
What is the question? I want to get,
what is a michbar? That's the question we're going to look at. What's a michbar? It's clearly not part of the real part of this mizbeach, because we said make the mizbeach, make all of its stuff, and now make this michbar. Clearly not part of it. And so we're going to look at the translation. Our scroll says you should make a netting of copper meshwork. So mechbar is a net. I make upon the meshwork 4 copper rings and 4 edges. And the current translation is thou shalt make for a grate, a network of brass. And upon it, on that shall thou make 4 brazen rings in the 4 corners. Okay, so some kind of hollow thing, looks like a net, but made out of bronze or copper or brass, whichever, however you would translate that particular metal. The netting idea comes from Unculus. He uses the same word to translate mechbar as he does, he translates the kala'im, which are the curtains, which are lace around the Mishkan. So basically some kind of metal lace work. It says, Unculus tabe le sarada. That's the, you shall make, what translates mechbar. Oba mitzada ta de nechasha. It looks like a net of bronze. And similarly, the next paragraph talking about making the curtains, you'll make kla'im, and Oculus translates that as tabe derat mashka, you'll make for the courtyard of the Mishkan, luach aver droma saradin, same word, sarada saradin, you'll make these lace curtains. So some kind of lace. And
like,
that's a mechbar.
Like chainmail?
Yeah, and that's kind of, you would think about it, how you make lace out of metal, right? It's a screen, it's a net. Yeah, like I say, it translates as a grate. The kivra is a sieve. For removing, you know, something that holds back the stuff you want and lets all the impurities fall through. The same, you know, this is a quote from Amos, so that I'm going to treat he says, I command Israel. I'm going to shake B'nai Israel in Golut throughout all the nations. But it's going to be like shaking it in a sieve, lipotra aret, and none of the pebbles will fall to the ground. They'll shake them up, but they'll keep them inside. So this idea of this kiret, the sieve, this is a Targum Yonatan, says that the michbar basically was an OSHA requirement. Okay, you got all this fire up there, and so you put a metal screen around the mizbeach to catch all the coals and the sparks from falling down. That makes sense, right? And that's exactly what Targum Yonatan puts it. I got a nice translation here from Sfaria, and you shall put this michbar around the mizbeach, milra underneath it. And the net should reach to halfway down the mizbeach. And so that no fragment or fiery coal shall fall from the top of the mizbeach. It'll fall into this mechbar, into this net, to the screen. Won't fall down to the ground.
Can I just interrupt here, Ava? Like that one Erev Pesach, yeah. when you lit the deck on fire, that's this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Right. So I was playing the chametz in our grill, and there were dry leaves underneath it, and it did catch
something
fire.
Something fell down, right?
Right. So it would be nice to have a michbar nechoshet, some kind of metal screen there to catch it. Now that makes sense, but that would have to stick out from the mizbeach in order to catch that there, and nobody seems to go with that. Targum Yonatan, which is, I don't know, 800s or so, and none of the pictures show it. No one ever looks at it that way. And it doesn't explain what the rings are attached to the mechbar. The Torah says that, but that doesn't make sense for the screen part of it. You know, the rings are for the poles in there. So not clear what to do with that. So I like that idea, but I can't really go with it because nobody does anything with that. So this is David Hirschhorn, and he tells the story better. I try to convince him to give this year because he's convinced. He had this epiphany. He was at Amdocs, the company picnic, and they brought in a caterer who brought in this massive big metal box, filled it with coals, put a grate on top of it, and was barbecuing huge amounts of meat. And he had a little sprinkle. He would sprinkle the water and sprinkle barbecue on it, and he realized, wait a minute, that's a mizbeach.
Huh.
The Gohanim ate the meat of the Mizbeach. Okay, so you have this metal box, you fill it with burning wood, and say the Mechbar, the screen is the grate, the grill goes on top of it. Everyone's got the Mechbar on the sides. No, it goes on top. So you could grill the meat on there. Right? The Mizrakot are barbecue tongs, the Mizrakot are pans for the barbecue sauce. This is telling you how to build a grill. So says David Hirschhorn. Moshe Chaim Ben, that's last name. Ben's father's name. But the problem is that's not how you think about it. I mean, we know the carbonate, some parts of them are eaten, but we generally assume that the Mizbeach is just there to burn it completely. The parts that are offered go on the Mizbeach, that's burned completely. And then the parts that are meant to be eaten, they're given to the Kohanim or given to the owners, and they cook it wherever they want. But not on the Mizbeach. We don't think the Mizbeach is being the barbecue, the grill. That's just for burning stuff. I don't know. The problem is, as soon as he says that, I figured that can't be right. And then I couldn't find any reason why not. Nobody says, here's where they cook the meat of the Mizbeach from the Karbonot. And, you know, it should be some reason. Somebody says, okay, here's a place. You look at the, all the descriptions of the building Beit Mikdash, and there's nothing that says explicitly, here's where the Kohanim cook their meat. They definitely have to eat it inside there, but where do you cook it? Mm-hmm. You have very descriptions of that, of how the carbon was cooked. Like the meat that the Kohanim got to eat, what did they do with it?
Whatever was left over? Like when you bring a carbon and I say, here's my bird or my goat or my cow,
So there are three kinds of karbanot. One is an ola, that's all burnt. One's a chatat or asham, which have the same similar laws, in which the emurim, the internal organs, are burned, the blood sprinkled, and the kohanim eat the meat.
Okay, so that's a lot of meat. If they're only taking care of the internal organs, that's
right. And the shlamim is where you sprinkle the blood, the internal organs are offered on the, are burned on the carbon, and then the meat is divided between the kohen and the owner. And both of them have to eat from it. And part of the idea of the carbon shlamim is that you have to share, because there's a lot of meat, you got to finish it in one day. So you have to invite friends, and you have to share your simcha, basically. But yes, significant amounts of meat are being eaten. And then I've eaten it raw.
For the owner, though, they could roast it in their own outside. Like, they could roast it at home, but the kohen
is eating it there. So carbon pesach was that way. Right. So we're still looking at the kohanim, right? I have all this meat that the halakha is, it can't leave the Beit HaMikdash, it can't leave the chater. It's got to be there. So it's cooked somewhere in there.
Like a big kiddush.
I'm sorry?
I thought it was like a big kiddush. Like if you're bringing the shlamim in. So yeah, the kohen were eating
exactly
it. And
right.
The family can also eat it.
Yeah, but so now the question is, where is it being cooked?
I don't know about that.
That's what I want to say. I know you can eat it. And then if you say it in the morning, you say, is it Makom Shel Zvachim as part of Karbanot and Chakra? It tells you where they're slaughtered and where they're eaten, the whole thing, and where you're supposed to eat it. That I got. I'm talking about the cooking part. How can I prove that David Hirschhorn is wrong? That they didn't use the Mizbeach as a grill? Or maybe he's right. It's just not the way I think about it. So I'm going to start with that. And this is Mishnah Zvachim, talks about that. Tells you that Hukulam and all these Karbanot, the Kohanim are eating. Kohanim can do different things when they eat them. Meaning what? Lochem Suliyim, you could eat them grilled or roasted. Shlukim, boiled, right? That's the way everyone's mother used to cook, just boiled to the point where it was gray, tasteless mass. That's what shaluk means. Overcooked. Uvur shalim, or cooked. Latet l'tochan tavle chulin, and you can add whatever spices, whether they were chulin, vitale truma, or whether they were truma. If you add your spices to it, because these are kohanim eating them. So you can eat it however you want. That's a mishnah. Gemara and chulin has a different approach. Amar av chista, matna kahuna, the gifts that were given to the kohen, the ones the kohen had to eat, ein nacholot el tzeli. It can only be eaten roasted. The ein nacholot el bachar dal, and you had to eat them with mustard. My time, why? Why do we say that? Amar krok, the Pesach says, the chol kodshei b'nei Yisrael, l'chanatatim, that I have given all of the kodshim of b'nei Yisrael to you, the kohanim, l'mashcha, literally to be anointed, saying that is to be treated like those who are anointed, the gedulah, k'derash ha-malachim oklim, the way kings would eat. So you gotta grill your meat. Tosfot on that way says, wait a minute, what about the Mishnah that says you can eat however you want? If you want to say the perikol tadir in zvachim omrim b'chulan rashayin kohanim l'shanot b'achila, that the kohanim can do whatever they want when they in order to eat it, la'ochlan tzuliyim slukim v'visham, can eat it roasted, boiled, or cooked. Amar gemara taima mishum dechtiv behu b'mashcha, because that's also the mashcha for greatness, because that's why kings eat. Here's the gedula, there's a malchim ochlim, same idea. The Nira. So it appears to me what the Gemara here, which says it's got to be eaten grilled, the Vadek Moshe Tovlo, that you could, the Kohen could do whatever, could cook it to wherever they like. Banana Yotermit. And Banana Yotermit. Whatever the person finds great, most favor with, whatever, however they like their meat done, the Kohen can do with it. Matzi Achelahu, that's the way you can have to eat it. Aba Adam She Tovlo Tzali. But normal people obviously prefer grilled meat over boiled meat. That's what Chis is telling. That's everyone who likes a barbecue. Okay? Then Yochel Tzali should Derek Adulia. That's a better thing. But if you're not a normal person and you like the boiled, that's fine too. So you're supposed to roast it. Where? No idea. We have a negative evidence for that. But the halacha and zvachim has that are talking about what you have to bring, what do you leave, if something comes up onto the mizbeach by mistake, you brought the wrong stuff up, what do you leave on there to burn and what do you take off? And the halacha is, in alu yerdu, and this is if you brought it up on the mizbeach, then you should bring it back down, and that is the besar kodshim kodashim, the besar kodshim kalim. the meat of all these korbanot that are supposed to be eaten. Kodshim kodashim are like the chatat that the kohen eats, and kodshim kohen, the shlamim, that the kohen and the owner and everyone else get to share. Either way, if they're brought on the mizbeach, you bring them down. Right? And the Batir explained that. Even though that it's perfectly fine meat, it's kosher and tahor, but you still take it off the mizbeach, you shouldn't do a
We lost you.
Supposed to be eaten.
Yeah, we couldn't hear you.
Sorry. I still hear you.
Now we hear you.
Okay.
But there was a gap, maybe a half a minute.
Uh-oh. Okay. You hear about Source 14. Okay, so basically the halacha is that l'chadchila, you shouldn't use the mizbeach as a barbecue pit. Right? But if you did it, you brought it up there, you cooked your meat, then you should bring it down and then you can eat it. It's okay, b'di'evet.
And this is referring to meat that was from the animal that was brought as a korban, but was not korban meat that was meant to be burned specifically on it, meaning like we just put all the intestines on it and now we want to put the ribs, like that?
Right. The idea, that's why he puts it here. La'achila chayma, verse 14. La'achila chayma of lo'im's back, that it's meant to be eaten. This is the meat that's supposed to be eaten. And I have to bring the whole thing up there. And sitting on there, I realized, wait a minute, I'm supposed to eat that, not burn it. You bring it back down. Now I have this wonderful grilled meat that's been on the mizbeach. But it's not designed to do that. So I don't think, I think David's wrong about this michbar, being the grate that goes horizontally over the top of the coals, meant to hold the meat. And mostly not so much because of the halakha, because of the description of what's supposed to happen, that you're supposed to attach the rings that hold the mizbeach up to this reshet, to this michbar. So it's got to be on the outside. Whatever this michbar is, it's going on the outside. And that's where the prayer continues. Right? You'll make this screen of metal network, metal mesh. And you'll make four rings of bronze, the four edges. And you'll put that under the ledge of the mizbeach. Underneath it, and the mesh should go down to halfway down the mizbeach. And you'll make poles for them, but they out of acacia wood. You'll cover those poles with bronze. You'll put the poles in those rings. So this is the way everyone kind of draws the mizbeach. This was from a program that Art School put out long ago. That was a splash screen about the Mishkan. You can drag it interactive, look through it all. But basically, the mesh over here, that's the decorative meshwork. Everyone assumes it, and you have the rings attached to it, and you have poles going through those rings for carrying the mizbeach.
How are they supposed to catch anything?
Right. So I'm saying that this is not like the Targum Yonatan. Targum Yonatan says the screen to catch things, right? It has to be sticking out. That's clearly not the way everyone understands this. This is not right. This is the way Rashi describes it. This is the way everyone, all the pictures of the Mishkan, all those little models that people do in the Mishkan, that's the assumption is. It's not there to catch anything. It doesn't serve to hold the meat for barbecuing. It is simply decorative on the outside. So then what's the point of the decoration? It's got to mean something. So I don't think that David is completely wrong. I think what it's supposed to be is exactly what he's saying. I'm proposing that, and I agree with him, that it's decorative on the outside, but it's a decorative barbecue grill.
I don't think you're pronouncing that right.
Decorative? It could be. How do you want me to pronounce it?
Decorative.
Decorative, okay. Decorative.
See how my comments are so helpful.
How do I pronounce decorative? Oh, I'm trying to get Siri to tell me. Nope, doesn't want to talk to me.
I would say decorative.
You would? Decorative?
Okay, well, I will.
Anyway.
I will say. Okay, we'll look this up later. Okay, so it's decorative. I'm going to say decoration. Okay? Right, the Torah says you should hang your barbecue grill on the outside of the mizbeach as a decoration. But that idea that you've got symbols on the outside of the mizbeach, because the mizbeach is the only part that people see in general, right? All the other kelim are inside, right? With the normal people come out, they see the mizbeach. Because we have that elsewhere.
It's a decoration is it ever meant to be taken down, or it's just symbolic of the barbecue grill, or it's meant to sometimes be a decoration and sometimes be used?
I don't know. This is all me. My interpretation is that's meant simply to be decoration. You're not going to use that because you're not going to cook. You're not supposed to cook on top of the mizbeach. But, and I will quote that after the Korach rebellion, when they bring their fire pans to bring Ketoret, Hashem tells him, you know what you should do now? Go tell Aaron, and go take all the fire pans, because all the Korach people, they all tried to bring Ketoret on the Mizbeach, and they were all burned to a crisp. Go rescue their fire pans. That's the Esh, and the fire of Zerahala, and cast aside all the coals, Kikadeshna, though they are holy. That machtota chata ima ela, and these fire pads of these sinners who sin benafsho tam, mortally sin, the basu otam rikwe pachim. I want you to turn those into braids, metal strands. He put them as a cover for the mizbeach. He kruvum of Hashem bekdashu vayula ot ben Israel, and they'll see the bronze decorations on the Mizbeach, and that will be a sign for Bnei Israel. We're going to hang them on the Mizbeach. They kachuzet ha-machtot, they took them, they are kum tzipoy Mizbeach, and he molded them, cut them into strips as a covering for the Mizbeach. Zikaron l'Israel, as a remembrance to Bnei Israel, l'manesh al-yikrav ishzar, that a stranger, someone who's not a Kohen, asher lo mizera Aharon, who's not from the descendants of Aaron, Bakhtir Ketorot Lifnei Hashem, that such a person should not bring the Ketorot. That was the symbolism. I'm going to hang that on his back. Liyech Korach Mechadato, and that Korach's mistake should never happen again. So my thought is that the Mechbar is also an oath. What do we got? That's a picture of a Mizbeach and poles. Does he have a Mechbar there?
This was made by Michael Shapiro and Nachum Zimmern about maybe 25 years ago in Moshava.
Very nice. Very good. So he's got the same thing as the art scroll, decorative mesh around there. You're not saying what the mesh is for.
It has a mesh.
Yep. Right under those rings. You can see it there. Okay. So I think that's still an oath, because it's supposed to remind us what eating from the korban means. The Shemayim and the Mizbeach effectively is a barbecue grill when we eat, even though we're going to barbecue on our own little grill, not on top of the Mizbeach itself. It's reminding that we're still eating from the Mizbeach. This is the Mesilat Shem, this is Ramchal. V'nei ha'ish ha'mitkadesh b'kadoshat baros, a truly holy person. Afilu ma'asav ha'gashmi'im chozrim l'yot inyinei kedusha. Even your physical needs become acts of kedusha, acts of holiness. Kedusha mamash, real holiness. The proof of that, the way to remember that is achila kodshim, she'atzma mitzvah aseh, that eating kodshim is a mitzvah. Yes, you're eating barbecue. You're doing it as a mitzvah. You're serving Hashem by doing that. All of your actions are serving Hashem. It says, kohanim ochlim, that when the kohanim eat, ba'alim mechaprim, then the owners get kapara. The kohanim have to eat it. So we have a grill hanging outside the mizbeach, basically, which as a sign to remind us that we're eating literally mishulchan gaboa. It's from the table of Hashem. And when this idea comes, this is from an article from yeshiva.org. Lachar shchita, Kol kachim kalim nesim mamon shel beit hamikdash. After they're shechted for a korban, the meat itself belongs to the mikdash. Mamon gavoah. The property of God. It's God's meat at this point. Gam mashe ba'alim ochlim, and including the parts that you're eating. Einu mamon shel hem. It's not yours. Elahu shel beit hamikdash. It belongs to the mikdash. Him ochlim al shulchano kamo orkim. That we are guests at God's table. That's what a korban is telling us. Zeh mashe krab l'shan gemara, mishulcha gavoah kazaku, that they're eating literally from the table of the All-High. Kvart be'er lach dat chachmei emet, and the sages of truth, that's the Kabbalists, people like the Ramchal, who are explained, b'nyan ha-kabbanot, and this idea of kabbanot, shematatam l'kasher ruchani l'gashmi. The aim of the kabbanot, of these kabbanot that are being eaten, is to bring together the spiritual and the physical. See, our physical needs are also spiritual. They're also meant to be serving Hashem. That we're bringing the carbon to make it holy. So that's what we're giving it to the Kohanim to eat for their service. Before God. Similarly, the Kohanim are eating the Shem Shulchan Gavoah. So that's my point. I mean, we agree with David that it's a barbecue grill, but it's just a symbolic one. That we should, that the carbon at least should be something that we're eating, realizing that we're eating from Hashem's own barbecue pit. Hmm. And when we, nowadays, when we talk about our shulchan as being a little mizbeach as well in our own home, like on Shabbos when we put salt on the chal and all that, realizing that's what we're doing. We're doing something holy by eating. And that was part one. That was symbolism of the Be'ah. We'll look at part two, the symbolism of the Aron. And this was inspired by my sister. She told me she's on the board of Pardes. Everyone hear of Pardes?
Yeah.
Jewish?
Yeah. It's pluralistic a little, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but right. They just built the whole building and everything.
What?
They just built a new building. They're doing very well.
They are. Oh, I don't know if they're doing well. I didn't realize they still were around. I was just surprised. She says she's on the board there. And she's involved, and they're raising money for a new building. But I didn't know they were still around. So she was shocked and said, "Obviously, I'm learning from the wrong sources if I wasn't aware they were still there." So I looked at it, and it's more class than things. They don't have any. They don't have a lot of weighted resources online, I will say. So I told her that she needs to work on them so that people like me still can find it.
Hmm.
But we're going to publicize them a little bit. Okay, so this is Alex Israel, learned at the Gush. He's one of their teachers. And he has an article there called Truma, Hypocrisy, and Authenticity. As we know about the Aron and the famous Rashi on that, says Basura Aron Shitishti, I'm gonna make an Aron, an ark out of acacia wood, a matayim v'chesi yakov, a mavchesi rachvav, a mavchesi kamato, be 2.5 amot long, 1.5 wide, and 1.5 tall. The tipita otoz the haftahar, and you're gonna cover it with gold. Be bite and be chusa peno, but it's gotta be plated in gold inside and out. Basika alav there's a havsaviv, and you have a little crown around the outside. Rashi and the Gemara says on that, it's got to be plated inside and out with gold. Symbolic that any Talmud Chacham who is inside isn't like their outside. It pretends to be wonderful on the outside, but really isn't that way on the inside. Ain't a Talmud Chacham. That's not a Talmud Chacham. Got to be as good inside as you are, showing yourself to be.
But this wasn't solid gold. It was wooden.
No, it was plated. Right. It was plated inside and out. Even the inner surface of the Aron was plated with gold. So he's saying that your inside surface has got to be gold, just like your outside surface has to be gold. That's the way Rob is reading that.
Because the core is wood. It's like plated in gold. It's like phony.
Ah.
Oh.
Okay, so that we're going to look at that, right? I mean, is Tocha Gabbara such a good thing, right? Because no one's perfect. You know, if your Toch isn't that good, should I therefore act the way I really feel? Or should I pretend to be good? What's worse? It's not always perfect, right? And he cites this couple of Rosen, who was a British rabbi, had an interesting book called Dear David. And he said, I shall tell you an incident that happened when I was a rabbi. One sharp morning, I passed a congregant who was smoking. When he saw me come, he tried to hide his cigarette behind his back and turned his face away. A few minutes later, another congregant saw me. He too was smoking. He was determined to brazen it out. He made no attempt to hide the fact that he was smoking on Shabbat. On the contrary, he passed me puffing quite openly. He was determined to be honest. In all probability, he was congratulating himself on his courage. He was not going to be a hypocrite. No, not he. So what do you think? Which is worse? Right? I mean, we don't like the idea of hypocrisy, but...
But you could claim, though, that, like, for the first person, his toho was, I know I shouldn't be doing this. I don't want to be doing this. And that's exactly what he's showing. I'm ashamed to be showing this.
He feels guilty.
Right. So, okay. So that, hold that thought. That's Rav Kook. But we got to get there. Yes, I like that. But this, you know, Tocha Gabbara is the idea, and that, you know, when Rashi points it out, when Yosef's brothers are mad at him, it says, Lo yachlu dabro l'shalom. They couldn't talk to him peacefully. And Rashi says, Mitoch genutam lamdu shevcham. That's out of the insult, we learn their praise as well. That's ambiguous. There's both genut and there's shevach there. Shlo dibru achap etev achap alev. They didn't hit him in their hearts and talk nice to him. Outwardly. Right? So which one would be better? If you really hate somebody, should you make it clear that you hate them, or should you always greet them with a smile?
Well, Rashi seems to be saying, like, it's genutam and shivcham. Like, it's both.
Yes, I agree. It's a dialect, right? There's sides there. It's not, you can't make a blanket statement there. Okay, and there's a famous story about Rabbi Gamliel, who was the one who was the Nasi, who was the head of the Sanhedrin, and he was too harsh for Yeshua, so they fired him. You know, at the Seder talking about Elazar ben Azariah's Kaben Shmonim Shana, he says he's like he was 80 years old. He was one who was appointed in Rabbi Gamliel's place as the head of Sanhedrin and Tana. And the Bryce says about that day, Oto Ayel, the day they deposed Rabbi Gamliel. So Kula Shomer Peta, they took the guards away from the yeshiva. But not Lahem Rashut Latamidim the Kanes, and let any students come in to yeshiva that day. So you have Rabbi Gamliel Machir Yisrael Mer, because Rabbi Gamliel was very strict. He announced, he said, Kol Tami She'en Tocha Gabbara Lo Yikanes LeBeit HaMidrash. Any student who's literally Tocha Gabbara, who wasn't as pure inside as they made themselves out to be outside, can't come in. And they, I don't know how they judge these sorts of things. I don't know, but they did. Gamliel made sure that no one who wasn't Tocha Gabbara could come in. And at that day, they had to add more seats into the yeshiva. Rashi says 700 more benches. And when he saw the Hakachalsha died to Rabbi Gamliel, and then Rabbi Gamliel became depressed. He saw what was happening, but Mari said, Dilma Chasr Shalom Minati Torah Mishal. Maybe I made a mistake. Chasr Shalom, I kept people from learning who really could have done a good job of learning. Achuze Le Bachalma. That night, Rabbi Gamliel saw in a dream, Chatzi Chiyure Demilin Kitma. Clean, white jars. They were full of ashes. Rashi says, "Klomar af elu enam ruim." They say now that all these students were like, they looked okay on the outside, but inside they were just ashes. It was okay, but the Gemara says that was Rabbi Gamliel's dream. The story in Gemara is Velohi, and it wasn't true. Hayu levat yatve daite, who the achazile, that he was given this dream in order to settle his own mind, so he wouldn't be depressed. The truth is he was wrong. He shouldn't have kept them out. Tochu b'boro shouldn't keep out your students. And that was your point about
even the tocho.
I'm sorry?
Even if they're not perfect, don't keep them out.
Right. Which is good, because right. If you only allowed the perfect students in there, then no one ever be allowed into the yeshiva. That's the idea of that was your point of view. Hypocrisy is a tribute that vice pays to virtue. I like that quote. That the hypocrite is the one who says one thing because they know that that's the right thing to say. It's at least acknowledging that the virtue is the right thing if you don't feel it inside. And in fact, if you're looking at the clay mishkan for symbolism, then if we have the Aron being plated inside with gold, telling you shetoch kaboro, yet the same inside is outside, the mizbeach is the exact opposite. The mizbeach is plated with the bronze on the outside and it's full of dirt on the inside. Mizbeach adama kaseli, the Rashi says. It's shamamali chalal mizbeach anachosha adama b'shad chayata. It's full of dirt. So you look at that as a symbolism. That, you know, if you serve Hashem in your avoda, you should be bronze on the outside, the symbolism of the mechbar and all that. But even if you have dirt inside. So this discussion that, what's his name? There he is, Alex Israel, says, he just leaves it at discussion, leaves it as questions, doesn't give an answer there. But I think the truth is we know that you're supposed to do mitzvah for the wrong reasons. You're supposed to do things, you should do your mitzvah, learn Torah, even for the wrong reason. You're trying to impress other people, even if you're doing it because you'll get punished by your parents if you don't finish your homework. That's fine. Because from doing it for the wrong reason, you'll end up doing it lishma, because it's important. And the Rambam says about that, therefore, when you teach little children, you teach them, say, you better learn this or else, or reward them with all sorts of prizes when they do it right, until they become wiser, and they increase in their wisdom and learn how important it is. He kind of introduced gently the idea of learning doing mitzvot lishma. Mm-hmm. And you gently introduce this idea until they understand it. And they reach the point of serving Hashem me'ava. Not lishma. So what we would say is that it's not hypocrisy, or it's not a negative thing, as long as it's the process. Tochaboro means I have the wrong intentions, I'm doing this all wrong, I'm just showing off, it's just on the outside. But it's shalo lishma is val lishma. It will eventually lead to shma. I realize that, yes, what I'm doing is wrong, isn't ideal, and I have a way to go. The problem with hypocrisy, is that spelled right?
No.
It's too weird. That's what I thought. Shame that. Thank you. The problem with hypocrisy is
it looks like a much crispy. It looks crispy.
Hippo crispies. The good the person crispy dessert.
That's when you barbecue your hippopotamus.
But you say it's a rhino.
Yeah.
You say, wait.
Crispy hippo.
Okay, the problem though is being satisfied with your ain't talking to borrow, is realizing that feeling is different from what I'm doing, and I'm okay with that. And this is a great Kutzker story. The super chitamida achami tamedia admar mikot. There's a story about one of the students of the Kutzker Rebbe, Jerry Duba Limudito, who was really smart, well, very learned. Ulam dato vashkavato lo tamid ta'amu al ruach ha'tara, but didn't really believe in the whole spirit of Torah thing. He was the one who was smoking behind the shul on Shabbos there, and then going in and giving the drush. Yigash pamel Rebbe Mikotsk, if the er lefanav ki in hu holech arba amot lelo tamat Torah. He met with the Kotzker at one point and boasted that he never walked four amot without learning Torah. Shalot Rav, and the Rebbe asked him back, kama o etolech lelo yot shamayim. Okay, that's very well and good, but how many amot are you going to go without your Yirat Shamayim? That's in Toch Kuboro, that's a problem. So Rav Kook says that, you know, the truth is, our talk as Jews is always good. We really do mean well. We recognize what we're supposed to do. The fact that we don't really want to do it, and so that sometimes we're, even when we're doing the right thing, it's not because we feel we're forced to it, not because we're inspired by Avad Hashem, that's okay. We'll get there. Jimut HaLeva Yisraeli Notele Mitzvah. Your soul wants to misspoke. Alkein, Im Levada Mukhuzak Vibuti Yashar. So if our desires push us to do something wrong, Az Keva Chetoko Enoto, if he's really not good inside, Ma Betza Bamashech Kitchen Ototova. So it won't do any good to act and do the right thing. That's in Toku, but that's Hippocrates' side. Avosti my dekaimalan, sha adamu yasharbiti at all. But since we hold that people are fundamentally good, and sins are incidental outside, so then when you're outside, you're doing the right thing on the outside, you're pushing yourself to act right, that is definitely correspond, that's true of your real innermost true self. And you got this middle inner thoughts that aren't perfect, but you give now your true self says you want to be good, your actions are good, they'll come together. Maybe then you've got thoughts and you're saying things that aren't right. That they will eventually go away. But the internal contradiction between your true desires, it really is to do the right thing. And the external pressure shall by doing the right thing. Fake it till you make it. That's fine. But your innermost toch still recognizes that's the right thing to do. Same alcohol paim tovim, that your actions are good. You're not going to, you know, you're going to hold yourself back from doing these bad things you want to do. But feel me toch shalom ishma balishma. That's what you'll know. You'll end up going and doing those actions. They'll come together. And you'll turn your talk into the tova.
Does Rav Kook link this idea to the symbolism of the Aron?
I don't know. I have to look at that. I don't know if he specifically links that.
So you're following this trail of Toho Kaboro and then
Yeah. Right. So yeah. This ends up being exactly your model.
Yeah.
The outside is gold. The innermost inside is gold. The core and the bulk of it is wood. But we're trying basically to say, I mean, so I don't know that he does that inside. I haven't looked at the whole thing in the NIF. But that's exactly your metaphor.
Yeah, I still don't
the
get
inside
how.
Gold, the out-
right. I still don't get how the Toho Kaboro works with the Aron. It's like the opposite of the Aron. It's not Toho Kaboro.
Boro, we say, is the innermost side of it. The reason for plating on the inside to say your neshama needs to be gold as well. You're right. And Robert there is ignoring the wood there. And I think that your point is that the Rav Kook is saying, no, don't ignore the wood. The wood is real.
Yeah, but he's not linking it. Yeah. He's not linking
He's not, but you can see it because he's talking about the, you know, the toch, the real toch,
right,
as opposed to the external toch there.
Right.
So I'll give you that. So even if he doesn't, he should. And you should give this year. But that's exactly what you're, I think about it before. That's what you're saying, right? Plate of gold on the outside, plate of gold on the inside, effectively will make the whole thing gold. Even right. though it's got cheap wood kind of in the core of the walls.
Right.
So we're going to put together the actions that you do on the outside in a pinit ha'imiti. That's what you put it. The true inside. Right, that's where he puts it. We see that the true inside is always equal to the outside. Mm-hmm. Again, using that language, talk to borrow.
Yes. Yes.
That is the goal there. And the end of the idea that there's no hypocrisy in being ashamed of weaknesses and trying to hide it. The important thing is to strive continually to improve and eliminate the defects. In the meantime, pretend that you're perfect. Act in a perfect way. You're still better off. But the symbolism here, to summarize, is that as long as we're striving to improve, we can. And the bottom line is, someone whose sort of feelings inside and don't match their wonderful deeds on the outside, that's not Talmud Chacham. Not yet. There's always potential that you have potential to get there. And none of us are there. That's the Aron is inside the Kodesh Kodeshim. The Mizbeach full of dirt is on the outside. We still can strive to be better.
Yeah.
Okay, and I am going to have to re-edit this to add social metaphor here about the core being wood and the inside and outside being gold. I like that. That's exactly right. Well, thank you for joining me.